Ladies and gentlemen, it's showtime. What is good, everybody? My name is Adil.
Hey, my name is Tien.
And you're listening to Showtime. Welcome, everybody. How are you doing, Tien?
I'm doing pretty good. Sun's coming out. It's getting warmer, right? You move away from that depression state. Well, I hope no one's really depressed, but you know what I mean. The weather was crap.
Oh, so yeah. Windy. For sure. You know, spring's here. The weather's only going to get warmer. Temperatures are only going to rise from this point. So, a little, you know, lots to look forward to.
Yeah, actually, yesterday I actually went out. The first time in a long time, I got to wear just a t-shirt.
Oh. I was actually at the at the yacht club not too long ago. And, you know, I was just hanging out there with the family. And it was honestly just beautiful to, you know, feel the sun, soak it up, hear the birds, you know, the seagulls, and, you know, just be by the water. That's where I find my peace.
Yeah, that's good. Usually what I do is I'll go for a run or go out hiking, go for long walks, walk my dog. All of these things really just keep you fit. It keeps me motivated, actually. It gives me a little bit of endorphin boost.
Yeah, no, of course. Anything to do, honestly, with working out, man, I'm all for that. Because when I first started seriously working out, like I used to, you know, exercise here and there when I was younger, but when I actually started to actually put in work, I would say about, you know, maybe 2.5-3 years ago, mm-hmm. I actually, in the beginning, I didn't see any results, but I used to go just for the fact that it made me feel better on the inside, you know, mentally, physically, of course. And then eventually, when I started going, I started learning more things about how to work out properly. And, you know, it was just smooth sailing from there. It just became a, I guess, more for my mental health than it was to mm-hmm. actually get the physique I wanted. That was, of course, coming as well, along with that, but it was mostly about me just finding that inner peace that I was looking for during those times. So I'm all for that, man. And I'm actually happy now that the weather's, you know, getting warmer and the days are longer, where you can actually go out for a run in the mornings or, you know, even at nighttime now. So that's amazing.
Yeah. Like, I think I told you, I started, like, nonstop working out 6 days a week since January this year. I haven't stopped.
How's that going for you, by the way? I haven't asked yet.
It's pretty good. I've been making some gains. You know, with my body type, I'm an ectomorph. So for those of you who don't know ectomorph, you know, there's three body types. There's endomorph, mesomorph, and ectomorph. So ectomorphs, it's generally harder for us to put on more weight.
Yes.
So, but when we build enough weights, when we put on that extra muscle, it's very hard for us to lose that just because it's just the way our body is. My metabolism is kind of fast. So like whatever I eat, I need to eat extra to build on weight. But once I put on that weight, it kind of just sticks there.
Yes, exactly.
So the struggle for me is really putting on weight. Maintaining it will be much easier. So in the past 3.5 months, I've been making some gains. I take 3 protein shakes a day, in addition to 4 meals. So it's been good. And speaking about feelings, right? Like after you've been working out nonstop for 90 days, well, I mean, I did take breaks. You know, I'll have 1 or 2 break days in a week. But once you get into that routine, once you start building momentum, you don't want to stop anymore. Because if you stop, you actually feel like shit.
Right.
I stopped for 3 weeks. You know, it's 3 weeks. It's horrible to stop for 3 weeks.
You feel guilty. You feel guilty.
And you feel like shit. Yeah. Because you feel like, you know, this is something that you've been doing every single day or every other day. And now you suddenly stop it for just 1 or 2 days. You feel like you wasted a day.
Yeah. Like it mentally gets to you. Like, this is what's going to happen to you now. You're going to start to get lazy or, you know, so forth. And it's 100% it affects you. And that's what happened with me when, you know, last year, when all of a sudden everything closed up because of the start of the pandemic. But then eventually you had to overcome that by improvising and learning other ways to do what you regularly did in your life. But now, you know, fast forward 2021, we're getting by now, you know? And we know how to cope with it.
Yeah. So the reason why I actually stopped working out for 3 weeks is work has been really stressful. So when I got home, like when I get home from work, I just collapse and snap for like 45 minutes to an hour. And that's way too long for a lap. When I wake up, I feel really groggy. I didn't have energy to work out. And it's what caused this is our manager. So the next person in my HR department who's superior to me, she went on maternity leave. So that means I am the most senior person in our department now, and I'm taking on extra responsibilities. So that's what's been giving me a lot of stress, but it's also a blessing because now I get to take a lot of work that she used to do and expand my skill set.
Right.
So it's good for my experience.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you look at it, you know, it's a win-win for not only you, but also for the individual that did go on mat leave, where they have someone that is, you know, reliable to take on that challenge.
Mm-hmm. So one thing I've been doing is hopefully some people can take a little bit away from this, is everything I started doing now in HR, every single new task, every project, I would just take out a notebook and I would write exactly what I do. Like in a jot down point form. And that's going to be directly what I put on my resume. And it's going to be talking points that I bring up in my next interviews.
Oh, so clever.
It's kind of like preparing for interviews before you start even looking for work. You know, nice. That's what I've been doing.
Good. I like that.
Hopefully, you know, that can help you next time when you apply for a job and do an interview.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I'm actually taking notes right now.
Okay, so what are our main topics for this time?
So our main topic for today will be focused on how to deal with negative people.
Okay, but I actually have a very good story to add to that, but I'll let you go first.
Okay, perfect, perfect. No, I actually want to hear that. I'm looking forward to that. But along with that, before we get into that topic, we do have to do some questionnaires here. So on Snapchat, I asked you guys to send in some questions. Here are the questions that we chose for today. So question number one, and this is for both of us. What advice would you give someone who wants to start their own business today? So go ahead, I'll let you go first.
Okay. Okay, well, this is going to sound like you're cheating, but I'm not sure if you've heard of the term, if you can't beat them, you join them.
Yes.
Yeah. I kind of like seeing myself, I wouldn't use the word parasite, but you want to start your own business, you got to start learning from someone.
Yes, 100%.
I'll be honest, okay, at my workplace, one day I want to start my own HR consulting service. I don't have experience. So how am I going to get that experience? Basically, I'm just getting as much information from my current employer as possible. Whenever my manager does something, whenever she includes me in a meeting, I copy paste all the notes, right? I'll try to memorize them. I'll try to paraphrase them and incorporate them. To put it bluntly, I am essentially copying the business model that we have right now. Right, I am not ripping it off in the sense that I'm selling it to people. I'm not disclosing it to people, but I'm taking all of that into my brain right now. So one day when I have enough capital, I'll be able to start this business.
Yeah, no, then that's a very smart strategy because you know it's proven, you know, for the past I don't know how long, thousands of years, that if you want to be successful, if something's working for someone,
right,
you essentially copy what they're doing. Whether you're putting that in your own terms and or you know you're paraphrasing that, whatever, you're using that same strategy because at the end of the day it works.
Yeah. So that's, it's nothing shameful about it. Think of it as being an apprentice. right?
That's how a lot of investment firms actually got started.
Yeah. I'll tell you a story. You know, for some of the history geeks, they'll really like this story, but I think it's 2,500 years ago. The Romans and the Carthaginians were fighting a naval war. And the Romans couldn't beat the Carthaginians because they didn't have good ships. One day, a Carthaginian ship just happened to shipwreck on the Roman shore. And the Romans copied that ship. And in one generation, they were able to build a much better navy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So what I was thinking is I will start with something small, like a recruiting agency. But I don't know how to actually start one right now. I don't have that expertise. But if I worked in a recruitment firm, which I did 2 years ago, I can easily get more information by just reading, looking, and studying how my current employer does things. What is their business model like? How do they go out to look for clients? And if you can adopt that to your own business and then make changes that better suit what you're looking for, then I'm sure you'll be able to get somewhere. So what is your advice here?
For me, the advice that I would give you, the listeners, of course, would be, number one, obviously this goes without saying, to know what your business niche is, to know what you want to do. Number two, understand the business model fully, not 70%, not 90%, but 110%. You need to understand that business, that industry, that field, how it works inside out if you want to be successful in it. Of course, you know, you learn along the way, that's fine, but you need to have a broad understanding of that business. Number three, have a good team around you. Now, obviously, in the beginning, you know, that's hard sometimes because not everybody is going to believe in your dream. Not everybody is going to want to support it. And frankly, even, you know, your closest friends sometimes cannot comprehend or understand at the level that you can for your vision. So try your best to have a support system. Because behind every successful artist, you know, actor, businessman, anybody, there's a team, there's a support system. So have that. And then, of course, you know, the last little tip I'll give you is to have a pretty good business plan. Create a, you know, ironclad business plan. Question number two. Tian, this question is actually only for you. So the listener actually asked, what breed is your dog and how did you come up with its name?
Oh, okay. So my dog is actually a mix of German Shepherd and something else that I do not know what it is. Okay. So you know how German Shepherd's ears are supposed to stand up after they reach adulthood? So mine doesn't. So it's got to be mixed with something else, but, you know, I don't really mind. He's a clever dog. He's smart. He's adorable. He doesn't bite. He doesn't really bark. When I take him to the park, he just have fun with everyone. So that's good. I don't really mind if it's mixed. How did I come up with the name Tiger? So when we just got him, he was very small. Like he was so light, you could pick him up in one hand. Okay, but he had a very fiery heart. Like he was running around all the time.
Yes, I remember.
And then his face. Yeah, you saw it, right?
Yes.
He was small, but he was running around everywhere. He's got a lot of energy. And also, his face kind of resembled a tiger back then. So that's why we called him Tiger.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask you, let's say if one day you get a dog, okay, what breed would you prefer and what would you name it?
Honestly, I never thought about that. I always wanted a dog, but obviously, living at home, my mom, even though she loves animals.
Yeah.
And she had a dog as well when she was a kid, by the way, if you're listening, Mom. She just, you know, didn't want us to have a dog at the time because obviously everyone's busy in their lives. You know, you got to take care of it. You got to, you know, do everything. But if I did, I would also prefer a German Shepherd. And as far as the name goes, I don't know, to be honest. Haven't really thought of a name or anything like that. I haven't thought that far out yet. But well,
that's okay.
I guess just okay. From the top of my head, if I had to choose something, it would have to have a name that has a strong meaning to it. Like, of course, you know, Tiger.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'll leave it at that.
Well, I'll say one thing. If you get a German Shepherd, you're going to be spending a lot of time grooming it. You're going to spend a lot of time vacuuming every part in the house. If you have carpets, you're going to spend at least an hour a week just vacuuming the carpet and cleaning the carpet. That's how much hair they shed.
Hmm. Yeah, I guess that's a given.
Yep.
Okay, so let's move on to investments. So, Tien, tell me, how is your portfolio doing?
Okay, so let me open it up right now. So as you guys know from before, I mainly trade on Wealthsimple. I don't really call myself a trader because, you know, traders, they buy, they sell on a short term, right? I see myself as a long-term investor. When I buy something, I just pretend or I assume the market's going to be closed for at least 1 to 2 years. So my stock has been taking a beating, actually. I think most people have.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Most of actually half of my portfolio on Wealthsimple are actually blue chip / dividend aristocrat stocks. So they're pretty stable companies like Smart Center REIT, Slate Office REIT, and Suncor Energy. So these companies, they've actually been growing quite a bit after the pandemic. After the market crash as a result of the pandemic. So for these companies, they're actually very stable. And they do pay monthly dividends, so I'm very happy about that. But it's the other half of my portfolio that's not doing so well. So I'm sure people heard about the rising bond yields, the crash in a lot of electric vehicle companies, as well as tech companies just taking a huge dip. So I would say overall my portfolio is still pretty good, but I fell short of my goals for this month. I also have a Questrade account. That's where most of my electric vehicle companies are. So that's my main strategy in investment is long-term dividends, some growth stocks, and I think I told you in person, and now I'll tell everyone, all of our listeners, I do have one gambling stock. So it is a stock that I'm sure many people have heard of. It's called HCMC. It is currently locked in a lawsuit, patent lawsuit. So this stock is literally a penny stock. It's not even a penny stock because every share is only 1/20th of a penny.
Right.
Right. So I spent $1,000 on it. I have 500,000 shares. And really, 500,000 shares, all you really need is for it to be a dollar and then you'll make a lot of money.
Oh, it'll blast.
It will blast. But, you know, this is gambling. It's straight up gambling, and I think in some people's religions that's not allowed.
Yeah.
See, what I'm basing my strategy on here is, you know, if this stock or this company goes bust, it sucks. I lose $1,000. But if it even goes up to 10 cents, that's $50,000. And of course, it already depends on whether this company win the lawsuit or not. So there you go. HCMC.
Awesome. Cool.
How are your stocks doing?
Well, I'm actually kind of in this, on the same page as you when it comes to my portfolio. My portfolio has actually taken a swan dive. But actually today, some of it did start to recover. But I'm not really worried about that because obviously, you know, When the stock goes down, it's going to go nowhere but up, right? Especially the ones that we know are commodities, of course. So for me, yeah, my portfolio, I would say at least 75% of my portfolio has been affected.
Because 75%?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. But and only as of today, it actually bounced back by, I would say, like 7%.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, not a lot, but still, you know, something. But one stock that I'm actually keeping my eye on, and of course, this is not advice, but the stock is called FSR, Fisker Inc. Now, of course, I know most of you know about this company, this vehicle company, electrical-powered vehicle company, but these guys are teaming up with Apple to create their new vehicle. And, of course, they're still, you know, going over the legalities and whatnot. But I'm just keeping an eye out on this to see what happens. I did buy some of it, some of the shares to, you know, hold on to for the time being. But just waiting on that in the meantime. But as far as my cryptocurrency goes, my cryptocurrency is actually up by a lot. So just today alone, for those of you that don't know, I do own Ethereum. Just today alone, I'm actually up about, I would say, $680 just today alone. So happy about that. But again, Ethereum is not something that, you know, you want to check up on every single day, because that's the long run game. So yeah. Tien, do you have any stocks or portfolios that you currently own that you want to, you know, share with the listeners?
Any stocks in my portfolio that I want to share with listeners?
Yes.
For sure. Okay. So I want to talk about my dividend stocks, actually, because I do follow Kevin O'Leary's philosophy.
Oh, yes.
And that's really about, you know, valuing stocks that pay you money, right? That pay you cash dividends. Because what he says is, if you're buying growth stocks or penny stocks, you're not really investing, you're just speculating. But when you put money into dividend stocks, you're actually investing, because there's going to be a guaranteed monthly income for you. So I have a lot of Smart Century Real Estate Investment Trust, about 210 shares. So they do pay a really good dividend. Some of you may have heard of Suncor Energy. Okay, so usually energy and utility companies are very stable. And the reason why I bought Suncor Energy is the pre-pandemic price was $44.24. Right now, it still hasn't recovered. It's only half of that. So that means if you buy it right now, there is a chance that when things recover, your money will double if you invest in Suncor Energy. Mm-hmm. Again, not financial advice, but that's what I am doing. So I also have quite a lot of shares in Kiera. So I did rave about Kiera in the past on this podcast. And Kiera is also another oil company, and they did not recover fully yet. Okay, so pre-pandemic, it was around $35, $36. Right now, it's still around $26. Mm-hmm. So your money could still increase by 33%. That's pretty good. So these are the three big dividend stocks that I hold. And every month, I'm guaranteed to have an income that I will use to reinvest in those same stocks.
Good, good. I like that.
I have another strategy, though, and that's buy 50 shares of as many good quality technology stocks as possible. So one example is LSPD. So LSPD is a point-of-sale software company. Another one is DCBO, which stands for Docebo. So it is a online cloud-based learning management platform. So when you buy 50 shares of, you know, or 100 or 200 shares of these companies that have high growth potential, if they all each reach $100 in the next 1 or 2 years, which is very likely, and then you sell them, that's at least $10,000 to $20,000 of cash that you've made that you can reinvest in your dividend stocks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
So those are the five stocks I wouldn't say I'd advise, but I would say definitely you know, check it out, see if you can make some money from that.
Awesome. Thank you for that. Okay, so on to the next segment. It's time for the rapid questions. So this time around, Tien had the opportunity to choose the questions that we were going to be going over. So just like before, we're going to go ahead and go over the question and then give our answers. And once again, we're going to be sticking with the who is most likely topics.
Let's do it. Want to start right now?
Yes.
Okay. So, who is most likely to move to another country? I would say probably you.
Yes, I would say me as well. I don't think there's any actual explanation behind it. I've said it before. But if you want to know, you can always message me and we can talk about it. But I would say myself.
Well, I think it's more likely you because you like to travel and I like to travel, but I like to travel within the province or within Canada. Mm-hmm. And I probably would not move to another country. I think I'm pretty settled here.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, next question. Who is most likely to start a whole new career?
I would say myself.
I would say that too.
Yeah, why is that?
I just think that, to be quite frank, I know myself. I really like my field, HR. I like to deal with people. I like to be able to look at everything in the company. I do love hiring, recruiting, health and safety, doing a bit of everything. Even sometimes the firing. Like I don't like firing, but I like to be part of every process. So I'm very sure of my field right now. So that's why I say it's probably going to be you.
Yeah, no, that's fair to say. I mean, obviously, I've said this before, but growing up, there was a lot of different, dreams and goals that I've had accomplishing and doing. And so I can definitely see myself, if an opportunity does arise, to go down that path. So, yeah, I would say myself.
Who is most likely to die from an accident?
Ooh.
I would say it's probably going to be me.
I would say you as well. You know what? I would say myself as well. But I would also say you as well.
Well, see, like, I love adventures. I like to, you went on trips with me. You see how I like to climb a whole bunch of different things. I just love doing that. So last year when I went to Sudbury, we climbed a mountain, and honestly, I almost slipped, and someone actually caught me. So I was pretty lucky there.
Yes.
So I cheated death.
Yeah. No. I mean, I would give the exact same reason as to why I picked you, because you're very adventurous. And so am I. But you've done things recently that. And you've gotten good, photo opportunities out of it as well. But because of that, I would definitely agree with you there. But I would also say myself, because sometimes when I'm doing something, even if it's, something as normal as driving or something as normal as just, going out, on about with my day, I've had a lot of near-death experiences growing up. So I've almost got hit by a car. I've been, robbed at knife point. I ran into trouble with certain people where, it eventually led to a fight. So, a lot of things like that has happened with me. Mm-hmm. But you never know. You never know. Every day is a gift, but you never know what can happen. So, yeah, we'll leave it at that.
Who is likely to run for prime minister?
Oof. I would say you.
Really? I thought it would be you.
So I want to hear why you picked me. I'll tell you why I picked you.
Okay. Look, I love politics. I like reading about it, but I just can't see myself as part of the Canadian political system. It's not something I want to get into. I like it. I like studying it. I like reading about it. I don't want to be part of it. And the reason why I say it's you is I just see that you're more of you're more adventurous when it comes to the career side of things. Like you would be more likely to explore that as opposed to me.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, no, I picked you because you are very knowledgeable when it comes to politics. You know.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
You know the difference between, you know, right and left, right? And when it comes to, I guess, something you believe in, you would defend it and you would protect it, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I picked yourself. But I get where, you know, you mentioned me when it comes to picking me, because my name, Adil, it does translate into justice.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. A lot of people don't know that, but it does translate into justice.
In so, Arabic?
Yes. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. So, the next question. Who is most likely to serve time in prison? I'm going to say it's you. I honestly think you're, between the two of us, I think you're more likely something happens, you're more likely to get a little bit more angry and just smack someone. Or just slap some guy, right? You'll slap some guy, you'll smack someone. I mean, that's just how I say it. What do you think?
Oh, man. I was going to say you, actually.
Oh, me? Really? I think you're more likely to slam someone on the pavement. Like, you'll grab someone and slam them on the pavement.
No, I don't disagree with you there, but the reason why I picked you was because I feel like it wouldn't be because of your fault, but it'll be uh-huh. because of somebody else, a part of your group.
Oh, okay.
You know, your group away from me, your friend group.
Well, you see, that's happened before, actually. I've been on campsites where we was 99% compliant, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Which is a good way of saying that we didn't do everything proper. 99% compliant.
Right.
And we ended up getting a fine. Small fine, but still a fine, by the way. So I see where you're coming from.
Yeah, that's the only reason I picked it. But in that sense, no, that's hilarious.
So I wanted to bring up something. You know, at work, I mean, you work in compliance. In your kind of field, especially in your industry, right? Compliance is so important.
Right.
But do you agree that sometimes if you follow every policy or procedure to the letter, it's actually really bad? It prevents some stuff from being done sometimes.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I agree with that. There's a lot of things that, you know, even we get flagged when it comes to compliance where it just doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's written, you know, as a policy or a procedure, you have to follow it. But then when you look back at it, you're like, obviously, I don't want to, you know, give an example here for, you know, legal reasons or anything like that. But imagine getting something done and you're doing it the right way, the correct way, where it is compliant. But because you didn't do it the way that they wanted you to do it, instead of, you know, getting to, you know, house number 10, you walked on sidewalk A instead of sidewalk B. Either way, the destination is the exact same, but it's because you took the wrong sidewalk, so to speak.
Ah, I see.
Yeah.
See, at work, this
even
is
though it's
what
safe,
happens to me.
Even though it's still everything's the exact same, it's parallel to each other. But because the policy is written a certain way,
mm-hmm.
it needs to be, quote unquote, followed that way.
Yeah. Well, you see, at work, this is kind of the situation I am in. Like, I am not compliance, I'm HR. And I do a lot of operation stuff, so things need to be done. But sometimes that requires you to not always follow the policy to the letter.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Because, to me, violating a policy doesn't mean that it's a big issue. It just means that you're 99% compliant rather than 100% compliant.
Right.
Right. And then if the auditors come, if you score 99%, you're still going to pass.
Yes.
Right. Isn't that like, I'm sure you guys got audited before and then.
Yep.
There's times where you have one or two screw ups and then that's still considered a pass because, you know, they're not going to pretend you didn't do the other 3,000 things correctly.
Correct. Just like a driving test, you know, when you're getting your license.
Yeah.
Sure. You can screw up, but if they're small screw ups, that's fine. But
yeah,
you would still pass. right? Mm-hmm. So exact same, you know, applies here. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay, so that's actually all the questions that we have.
Perfect. No, that was fun. So let's go ahead and get into our topic for today. How to deal with negative people. Now, of course, doesn't matter, you know, who you are or what field you're in. Chances are you have dealt with negative people, whether it's, you know, at work, at school, you know, in your family, your neighbors, out shopping, whatever the case is, you've dealt with negative people. So we're going to go ahead and share some, we're going to have a discussion, of course, and share some tips that can help you deal with negative individuals. So obviously, when it comes to negative people, you know, we know that they love bringing other people down. It can sometimes seem like, you know, that's the only thing they enjoy doing. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we don't always know what's happening from their side of things. So you know that saying, there's three sides to a story. There's your side, there's my side, and there's the right side. Same rules apply over here. So obviously, one major thing that I'm going to, you know, tell you guys here when it comes to that would be, don't fight fire with fire. That's the one main thing that I would recommend not doing. Don't bring, or I should say, don't buy into their negativity. Don't allow yourself to be affected by that same toxic negativity. Don't engage with that difficult person because of their, you know, situation. You know, whatever the case may be, ultimately, don't stoop to their level.
Well, I agree with that. I mean, the way I see it, if someone is being negative, they're being a downer or whatever, they're blaming you for something. Or even worse, they just stop associating with you for whatever reason. Perhaps they have a grudge or there's a perceived slight. I think the best way to do it is just let them know, hey, like, if everything's back to normal, then talk to me. And then just leave the ball in their court. That's kind of how I handle these situations.
Yeah, no, I completely agree, because there are certain times when things happen, even out of miscommunications, and, you know, something that wasn't meant to happen happens. You know, that's obviously, you know, the ups and downs in life. But what I would recommend, again, would be to ultimately not stoop to their level when it comes to that individual. Because by you doing that, you're only fueling their flame. You're only feeding into it. Mm-hmm. The next thing that I would recommend would be for you to understand that at the end of the day, you are not their problem solver. Doesn't matter if you're in customer service or if you're trying to help them, you know, or even being sympathetic. You are not their problem solver. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, it's not your job to make an unhappy person happy. Of course, you know, when it comes to your family, you know, your kids and whatnot, that's different, right? Yeah. But when we're talking about an individual, and obviously based on the situation, it's not your job to do that. You know what I'm saying? You know, if you set out to change a person overnight, you're only going to end up falling short, and you may even end up feeling disgruntled yourself. The only person whose happiness can be controlled is your own.
Yep. Well, do you have any really bad experience with a negative person that's been affecting you?
I have a lot. I have a lot.
So do you cut them out of your life, or do you give them breathing space, or what do you do? Do you take a proactive stance to get them to get back on the right track? What do you do?
So, number one, it depends on the situation. You gotta assess the situation. That's what I do. Number two, you need to understand the short-term and long-term rule. And by that I mean, is it something that's going to be affecting you in the long run? is it something that's going to affect others around you because of this situation in the long run? Or is this something that, you know, can be controlled and handled within the short term? That's how I assess it. And obviously, again, depending on who it is and what the situation is, I would base it off that. Some things that I'd like to do is I'd like to understand, you know, the things that I mentioned is that not everything is in my control.
Right.
Right? And I understand that, and I set that boundary where I give myself a break, you know, where if I'm not able to handle a negative person or a negative situation, I need to give myself that break. I need to get that space where I can clear my head after dealing with somebody, you know, who pissed me off or emotionally affected me, mm-hmm. and then come back to that situation if it still bothers me. What I like to tell people is that if you, you know, if there's a situation or something that's bothering you, sleep on it. You know, if you wake up, if it's still bothering you, give it another night, sleep on it again. And if it still bothers you, then go ahead and address it. Because then it is important enough that it's affecting you in the sense where it's now past the 48-hour time frame, 24 to 48-hour time frame.
Ah, there's a time frame to this.
Yes.
Well, hey, here's what I'm going to say. Like, you know, for all these negative people, you know, you said something at the beginning. You said there's like your side, and there's something in the middle, right?
Correct, yes. The your side, my side, and the right side.
Right. I remember hearing that from Karate Kid or Cobra Kai, you know?
Yes, remember how
Russo has his side of the story, and then, holy crap, when you watch Cobra Kai, you realize that, what's his name, Johnny Lawrence, he has his side of the story, and they both kind of make sense. So, you know, you don't always know what happens. The truth is always in the middle. It's neither your story or the other guy's story. It's truth is what's in the middle. And sometimes I you know, I don't really blame or have that big of an issue with negative people. I guess the most important thing is just be open to them to talk about it. Other than that, no, just let them be. I mean, recently I had quite a bit of negative people in my life, and it's a good thing that they're not in my life anymore. But if they ever want to come back and we can discuss things maturely, then, you know, that's good for both of us.
I think it's important. It's very, very important to address the situation, whether it's big or small. And I'm a, you know, big believer in that, because sometimes, you know, especially if it's somebody you care about, whether it's a family or friend, coworker, whatever the case is, if you are the reason for that, you know, negative situation, you need to understand that even if you didn't do anything wrong, mm-hmm. from their perspective, you caused them pain. You've done something that has negatively impacted them. So it's important to address the situation. By you doing that, you're not only gonna, you know, ease up the situation on your end, but on their end as well. And mm-hmm. it might just clear the air ultimately. Because again, you know, there could be a lot of miscommunications. There could be in a situation where something was accidentally said or done. You know, we're human. Things happen. So it's important to be that light, to, you know, personify that positivity. And that's what I like to do in my situations as well, where not only am I addressing it, but I try to be that light. I put on that enthusiasm, you know, like an armor against that negative situation and take it on that way. You'd be surprised, you know, even small gestures mm-hmm. can chip away that negativity in some cases.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's, you know, doing nice things for somebody or just, you know, having a heart-to-heart conversation with them on that situation. And obviously putting yourself in their shoes as well to understand the story from both ends. Mm-hmm. So I guess another one we could add to this would be to, you know, take charge of the conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, especially when somebody is constantly complaining about certain events, subjects, topics. There was something that I was reading not too long ago. It's called, it's a technique. It's called the appreciative inquiry. So pretty much how it works is it's a process of asking questions to help the person gain a more positive outlook on the situation. So if a person is, you know, going off about, you know, a past event, you know, ask them questions that focus on that, on the positive aspects of their experience, or, you know, even about the future. You know, some, for example, I don't know, some questions could be, what are some good things that came out of that experience? Or what would you like to see happen next time? You know, reframing that negative language can help focus on achieving a brighter future in a positive way. And I've personally used this before I even knew that this was a technique, and it has worked in my case. So, Tien, I'm going to go back to season one, where we talked about, you know, our friend.
Yeah.
And obviously a lot of people, they do want to know more about this story. They want to understand more about what exactly happened, you know, what led to it. We've pretty much scratched the surface when it came to it. But I know you would agree with me when I say that most of the time the situation did become negative, and it did become toxic. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
Yes. And obviously when it came to this person, it wasn't just about, you know, the things they did. And it wasn't about the way they, I guess, wanted to lead their lifestyle or whatever the case may be. It was more about always being miserable. And I get it. You know, I've like I've said, you know, before in the past, I'm no stranger to anxiety or depression or any of those things, because I've dealt with it myself. So I completely understand. You know, when somebody's miserable, you need to, first of all, understand why they're miserable, what causes them to be miserable. But then there's certain people that just choose to be miserable despite having every resource in the world to change that. They choose to stay that way because, I guess, I don't know if this is just their comfort zone or their own, you know, bubble where they're comfortable being that way. But some people just choose to be that way.
I think it's probably the comfort zone. Like, I have something I can relate to that, actually.
Okay.
During the middle of university, I was actually, my comfort zone was very small. I didn't like to stand or step outside of it. And whenever I tried, I get really uncomfortable and I just collapse back in. But I realized that it's not a good thing. I have to get more experience in different things. I have to try everything in school. I can't just, you know, go to school and then study and then go home. I have to do something more. I had to kind of change my outlook and change my enlarge my comfort zone.
Right.
So I did that and I was successful in doing that. But, you know, I don't want to understate just how uncomfortable it was when I tried to burst out of my comfort zone and burst out of my comfort bubble. So I would say definitely there's a bit of comfort zone problem there.
Yeah, and it takes a lot. It takes a lot, you know, for one to do that. So you're absolutely right.
Yeah, and I remember when we went to Wonderland, I do actually have a fear of heights. But my rationale is, you know, if I just walk up to the roller coaster and let them put that safety belt on me, it doesn't matter how uncomfortable I am. Like, it's too late. I'm screwed. I have to sit through the whole ride.
Yeah, and you know what's funny? It's because of, you know, situations like that that it helped me overcome my fears and when I used to be in my comfort zone as well. Especially heights, you know, growing up, heights was actually one of my fears as well. But I overcame that by just doing it, you know, by simply just doing it.
You just put yourself in that situation, force yourself, right?
Yeah. And whatever comes out of that, you know, outcome, it's that's what it's going to be. whether, you know, if it changes me in a positive way, in a negative way, that's that. You know, sometimes, you know, you have to take certain gambles, or, you know, I wouldn't call it a gamble, but certain risks in your life to, yeah. you know, get to a certain a degree or a goal that you're aiming for, right? And mm-hmm. I can say that 90%, or if not more, I would say 95% of the risks that I have taken in my life, you know, to make a change, has had a positive outcome. I've gotten a positive outcome from it. So I'm not scared to, you know, take a charge or take risks.
That's important. Taking risks is what life is about.
Yeah. So, you know, back to our topic. I actually do have a story that I wanted to share with you when it comes to, you know, a negative situation. Like I mentioned, I have a lot of, you know, stories and examples that I can give. But I'll give you a most recent one that, you know, till this day still has not been rectified. Now, in this situation, I'm the customer. Okay, so it's not me trying to solve anyone's problems. It's me approaching with the problem. Right. So, long story short, I signed up for some personal training at my gym. I'm not going to name the gym, but I signed up for personal training. Or actually, I'm not even going to say that. I was talked into signing up for personal training by the individual. I was looking for a personal trainer just to, you know, get me back up and running again after, you know, the gyms and everything closed. This was in September, by the way, so by the time things reopened again, right? Mm-hmm. So I wanted to get a personal trainer to kind of just get me, you know, back on the rock and get me going again for a little short amount of time. So anyway, I ended up, you know, getting talked into it because I did see my benefit in it as well. I ended up, you know, paying for it up front and ended up getting it going. I did a couple sessions, or actually, no, I did more than a couple sessions. But eventually, I had to end up switching the plan because the plan that I was on wasn't suitable for me and for my training regime. So I ended up canceling the plan that I had and signing up for the alternative plan. Now, what happened was the alternative plan, I was supposed to get a refund for my first initial training and sign up for the other one. So what happened was the guy ended up, you know, submitting the refund for the first one, and then I ended up getting charged. He ended up charging me for the second one to get me going and started right away. Long story short, September went by. Come October, I still haven't received any of my refunds, not from the first one or the second one, because the second one, apparently there was a glitch that happened on their system, and they were supposed to refund me the money, and they were supposed to sign me up again next week. Lo and behold, next week, we go into our lockdown. Our second lockdown, I think? We go into our lockdown, so gyms close again. Now, this time, of course, I ended up getting in touch with the head office team, the corporate head office team, and they ended up rectifying the situation where I ended up getting the refund for the second one, training. But the first one, I still haven't received it till this day. And it was around $345, if I'm not mistaken. I still haven't received that money back from them. So they ended up, this ended up going on until, I would say, you know, January, February time, when eventually we went back and forth on the phone. They ended up telling me that they sent the check out, it went to the wrong address, and somebody else received it. I'm like, how can someone else receive a check under my name? Then they're like, oh, there was some situation that happened where the check ended up going to them, and they're going to be issuing a new one to me, which the money's going to go straight into my card. I'm like, okay, cool. So they ended up doing that, and somehow, some way, it ended up going into another person's account. I'm like, how the F can that even happen? How can you tell me, you know, the money that I paid for my card is going on to another person's account that has nothing to do with me or my profile? And you know what they told me? They're like, oh, well, you know, maybe you know this person or there. He's your friend. I'm like, are you kidding me right now? And this is a big company. This is a big company. It's an American company, Jim.
I think I know what you're talking about. I have, if this is the same Jim, all right, I have the same story.
Yes. So they ended up, you know, doing that, and I got so frustrated. And at the end of the day, you know, it's not about the money, okay? It's about the principle of the situation, okay? If you made a mistake, if you did something wrong, you know, instead of helping rectify it, you're making excuses to a mistake that you guys ended up making, you know, on top of the mistake that was supposed to be rectified. So then now I ended up actually... not too long ago, a couple weeks back, I ended up submitting a request for the situation with another higher-up team that's going to investigate exactly what happened, because the trainer, the advisor, whoever, whatever you want to call it, not the trainer, but the advisor, that their colleague was the one that issued the refund. But I have a strong feeling that he knew who that other guy was. And when that system glitch happened, he ended up having his profile open and refunded that money straight to his account. And somehow that gym was saying that that's just the way it happened. And then they told me, oh, you know, go speak with your bank. Maybe they can help you. I'm like, hey, moron, I work for the bank. I know how the, you know, the risk policy works. I know how the dispute policy works. Oh, yeah, but go talk to your bank. That's all he kept telling me. Like, he didn't even know what else to say. Like, his voice was literally cracking on the phone when I was screaming at him. Not screaming at him, but, you know, spitting facts. But, yeah, now I'm waiting to see what exactly happens and how I can, you know, deal with the situation in a professional manner, as opposed to just barging in, creating a scene with that individual, asking him to refund my money that I still haven't received, and it's been well over 6 months. But, yeah... that's where I am as of right now with that situation.
Wow. I have a similar situation. Well, I always said is I wanted to work here for 2 months, and the guy managed to get me locked into a contract for a whole year.
Okay.
So I didn't agree to that. I didn't know. He kind of just let me into it. And, you know, so when I found out, I wanted to cancel, and they say, no problem, we'll cancel it. And then the money that you paid extra, we'll send it back to you in a check. And lo and behold, I get it in my check. I mean, I get it in my mail. Not, I didn't get it. They didn't send me anything.
What?
Yeah. So similar situation, right? Like, I was kind of swindled into a contract that I was not made aware of. So they were just trying to upsell me.
And that's then when the thing, and I'm not gonna let this go when it comes to this situation, and you shouldn't either, because the thing is, especially with gyms,
yeah,
there's a lot of things that they say. Now, obviously, I work for the bank. I've worked on the retail branch side, and now I work in, you know, the corporate sector. But one thing you learn by working in a bank is that you're not supposed to give anyone bullshit information or false information.
Yeah.
Like, you're not supposed to make something up just for the sake of, you know, getting them to believe something. And that's a big red flag. You're not supposed to do that. Doesn't matter which bank you work for. You can't, that can literally ruin lives. Mm-hmm. You know, you're playing with someone's financials. You can't do that. Yeah. Right? Now, when it comes to banks, or sorry, when it comes to gyms, they don't give a shit. They would literally tell you anything just for the sake of telling you it and for the sake of, you know, getting you off their back. So there's so many instances and so many times where a gym has said something and which ended up either being false or just complete bullshit.
Mm.
And, like, now it's just getting to the point where it's just ridiculous. Because there's a certain degree of professionalism that's expected from an individual, especially when you're a customer and when you're paying somebody that much money. You know, you're expected to do your job at the end of the day. But when it comes to gyms, especially during the pandemic, like, there's so many instances and examples I can give you. One of the big ones being you know, when they reopened again for the second time after the second lockdown, you were supposed to book appointments to, you know, visit the gym for your sessions, and you were supposed to call. They never ended up picking up their phones, even though that was their policy on their website. And you know what their excuse was when I spoke with them in person?
Yeah, what was it?
Oh, due to the pandemic, we were not picking up phones. I'm like, what the fuck does a pandemic have to do with not picking up a phone?
You know? I didn't hear the pandemic goes through the phone.
Right? And I was like, just, you know, save it, man. But anyway, yeah, no, this is not something that I'm going to let go. I am disputing it and I am looking into it. And see, you should be as well, man.
See, I think I got lucky there because what I did was I literally, you know, with gyms, right, for your membership, they don't take a credit card. And they take your direct deposit, right? So they take money from your bank every time.
Correct.
Yeah, I actually just changed my bank account.
Good, good.
I never saw any, like, credit drop or they never bugged me again. So I guess it's too much trouble for them to chase after me. So
good.
I mean, I shouldn't have to do that, right? These people should have been honest and truthful from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing about, you know, I guess not even with gyms, but in it could be, you know, with anyone, anywhere, right? And these little things can create a whole new, can snowball. It can ultimately snowball and, you know, in some cases, like I mentioned, in banks, it can even ruin lives, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, guys, that is a wrap. Thank you so much for listening. I'm going to leave you guys with the, not a quote, but advice. So this was the best career advice I think I've ever received. And I wanted to share it with you guys. At every job, you should either learn or earn. Either is fine. Both is best. But if it's neither, then quit. Thank you so much for listening, guys. My name is Adil.
My name is Tien.
And this has been Showtime.